Welcome to Took Talk, a video podcast by the band Took, and brought to you by Black Frog Media. We chat with the best in the music industry from yesterday and today, with a focus on the good old days of Canadian rock. This episode originally streamed live on Tuesday, December 15th, 2020 on Facebook Live. Now, here are your hosts, Todd, Brent, Shane, Corey, and Darren.
Boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
What's going on, kids?
This is not the coffee you're looking for.
No.
Hey, buddy. Hey, fellas.
Coffee talk.
Hi, guys. Hey. How are you? How's everybody doing?
Good.
Great. How are you all?
Very caffeinated.
Yeah. Getting caffeinated now.
Do you guys drink coffee first in the morning, and then this is your, like, second cup?
Yes.
Yep.
I usually have two or three cups in the morning. For some reason, I should be a farmer or something. I keep farmer hours. I'm up at like 7 at least.
Yeah.
And then
it's pretty strange. You're always the first to
send a text out
in the morning.
I'm responding to last night's chain of whatever was being talked about. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah. We missed you. We got schooled on coffee last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Corey's back.
I need to listen to that. I still haven't listened to it yet since I've been back. But
what are you drinking, Corey?
Right now I'm drinking hojicha. It's roasted matcha tea.
Wow.
That sounds delicious.
Sounds pretty fancy.
Double cup. Yeah, it is super delicious.
Are you still doing your kombucha?
Yeah. In fact, last night I forgot I had a batch in my closet that I hadn't looked at for like 2 months.
Whoa.
And when I popped the lid off one of the bottles, it basically exploded. I mean, the bottle didn't explode, but it started to come out like champagne, you know, like foaming. Wow. So I had to put it over the sink and put it in a cup right away, but it was like champagne. It was sweet. I mean, yeah.
Corey makes his own kombucha. That's how, you know, sorted out he is.
Beautiful to bring some of that. That you were talking about?
Yeah. I should have brought some over to you.
Any? It's probably like pretty high in alcohol by now.
I don't think it's too bad, but it was sure fizzy.
He brought some over, and it was like, I'm looking on the label, it's like 7.5. It's like,
really?
That's like freaking like the strongest beer you can buy. Yeah.
Extra old stock.
That's like, yeah, exactly. Super Bock.
Remember when you used to drink beer in Canada by the alcohol percentage?
Oh, I know.
And then some of those beer companies just kind of came out with those ridiculous beers where it was just and they just tasted awful, but it's like, oh, it was like 7%, you know, it's just like, garbage.
That's the old talk that Todd said.
Exactly. Well, no, remember Labatt made one, it was called Triple X, and it was like, tasted like tar, just brutal.
How much alcohol is in something like that?
I don't know, it was 6.5.
I think so, yeah.
Extra old stock, great big taste.
I don't remember the video or the commercial.
That was actually the best tasting one, like back in the day, like 12th grade, grade 12. Yeah. I think if you've had old stock, you're high rolling.
Well, remember you go to the States.
It was really just a matter of drinking as much, you know, on as minimal a budget, but for maximum effect, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But then you'd go to the States and you'd be drinking it like water, like the American beer. Like, oh man, I'm like 6 beer in. What's going on? Like so much more. I don't know if anybody knows that, but in the States, it used to be. Is it still that way? I haven't drank in 1,000 years, so I don't know.
I think so.
Microbrews now, right? But it used to be like 4% or something.
Yeah,
right.
Remember, it was kind of like a standard. It was 5 in Canada and like 4 or 4.5 in the U.S. So it was
right.
Budweiser was 4, I think.
Yeah, because living close to the border, you'd always get the Americans that would come up here, and it would be, you know, we'd come up here and drinking the Canadian beer, right? And it was just like a big thing. Exact opposite of going there. So,
exactly.
We could talk about beer all day.
Yeah.
but we should probably talk about, something big that happened today. Maybe you guys want to talk about
the
new single that dropped.
Of course.
A new single. Finally.
Of course. Finally. Exactly. Well, I wanted to say it started initially as a prodding from Darren Steen for a charity thing that which has been pushed off, of course, because of the new
COVID regulations.
The way things are. Yeah. But it was one of those proddings from Darren that turned into what we just released today, which is fast.
It didn't take much prodding, though, right? Because
it never does. Yeah. So what is the charity exactly? Just so you can.
Originally, we were going to be doing a live telethon for a foundation here in Winnipeg called the Never Alone Foundation, Never Alone Cancer Foundation, as they are now known. What they do is they basically help the lives of people living with cancer. So it's not like cancer research. So whether it's something as simple as helping somebody with parking when they're going to get treatments, or whether they're coming in from out of town and they just need a hotel room to stay in, all the little things, all the expenses that, I mean, and I know people out there going, you know, Canada free healthcare, but the reality is that there's so many things that aren't free about it. And when you don't have the ability to do just the little things, and that adds up. I mean, and it just becomes, you know, so I mean, we do things like, and I say we, because I work closely with them on a regular basis. Even, you know, what we call a day away program. So people that have been living with, and they've gone through this, and this is their day-to-day routine, they'll get to go out for a day and, you know, maybe go to a Bombers game, or they'll go, you know, out on a fishing expedition or something. So they do just a lot of great things. And it's a great cause. I mean, I know, Brent, you're familiar with the guys here in Winnipeg, but so it started out as that, and we were going to do a live telethon, and yeah, you guys were gracious enough to be part of that, and it's going to get pushed back. But if anybody is interested in checking it out or doing something or looking for a way to, you know, to donate, it's just basically nacf.ca, Never Alone Foundation. Go check it out. And nice. Yeah. So everybody does appreciate the fact that you guys were willing to step forward, and it wasn't going to hinder the release date of this, because I know, you know, it's there and it's scheduled to do that. And COVID, you know, once again, has kind of prolonged things. So we'll catch up in January. So
totally.
Right.
Yeah, so
initially, what's that?
Either way, it gave birth to this thing, and here we are.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Initially, this was supposed to be a co-video, you know, another COVID sort of style video, and it turned into something much more, thanks to Darren Steen. He's Mr. Creative down there.
Yeah.
And so we're going to play that later on in the show for you guys.
Yes.
It's exciting.
Very exciting. The single's technically out on platforms out there if you want to hear the audio version of it. A lot of people have been commenting on it already, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
It was really fun to do. I mean, it's a song we all grew up on, and it's amazing that we actually kind of lined this up to be with the guest we have, because it's, you know, when we sort of came up with this idea, it wasn't like, and then we'll have Fred and it'll be a whole thing. It was just sort of like the way it just kind of went down. But it's a song we grew up on, a song we all loved, and a band we all loved, and a song that went on to be, had multiple lives for some reason that I was telling these guys earlier, and I'll tell Freddie too. I was in Los Angeles for the very first time in 1989, and I don't remember how old I was, but I don't think I was old enough to be in the clubs even, but I just went down to try and like see the clubs and see the thing, and it was, you know, it was Hollywood, you know. And I remember hearing When I'm With You by the band Sheriff from Canada on the radio in the car in Los Angeles, and I was like, how is this? It would be like hearing, you know, any number of songs that we grew up with just randomly, like a Harlequin song in Los Angeles. Like, and I remember thinking, like, why is this Sheriff song, you know, which was a massive hit in Canada, playing down here so far after the fact? And then I was like, it turned out to be a massive hit just randomly around that time. It just sort
and
of
one has, of the one of the best stories in rock and roll, for sure.
It really
we're
is,
gonna,
yeah.
We're going to get our guests to help us out and tell us exactly what happened to make that happen. Number one hit.
So like, weird. And that kind of thing just doesn't happen anymore.
Eight years after it was recorded or something like that?
Did you ever hear the stories of, like, Kiss put Hit Rock City and the DJs went, nah, Beth on the B-side played Beth,
right,
a gigantic... Yeah. Stuff. Or like Working Man by Rush was just played on the radio in Buffalo a bunch, and it just sort of grew. It's like that kind of thing doesn't really happen like organically anymore. It's sort of so this is another example of something like where some DJ somewhere said, I'm playing this song because I love this song, and it kind of, you know.
Well, one of the last you know, radio stories, right? Because I mean, you talk to a lot of people now, and there's so many different, you know, ways of getting, you know, music to the masses. you know, you're right. I mean, radio used to be the go-to. That's where, you know, you found out about everything. This, you know, it predates all the other mediums. So
it does,
you know, now, I guess maybe not so much, but yeah, like you said, great story. Just before we bring our guest on, somebody's saying on the comments, what's the platform today? Cause we did announce this as release. Yeah. We're going to be playing the video at the end of the show. So stick around.
Can we, and talking about the video, can we just mention that we actually got together to do it during this time? And the song was recorded not that long ago. So this wasn't something we did a while ago. We just put this all together in the last
for month. Darren's charity. Yeah. So it was very recent. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're watching right now, no, you didn't miss it. It wasn't put on at the beginning. We're going to play it at the end, but yeah, you're right. We should make note of that, is that even the stuff that you guys did was months ago, before any of the lockdowns or any of the restrictions. So, yeah, we didn't break any rules in making this happen. So
yeah, we've been tested. I actually was suggesting we get like Industrial Light and Magic so that we never have to be in the same room together, but that's just a personal thing for me, not really anything to do with COVID.
or you get those big inflatable balls there, you know, like you bounce around on the field,
play inside the transparent balls.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you ever done one of those?
The flaming lips wing coin thing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but we did. I mean, we've all been tested and whatnot when we got together and shot this thing to be together, and we had a blast doing it. It was great to be actually like together for once.
Speaking of which, just quickly, I know we're talking about the whole vaccine rollout and everything. What's it like down there for you guys? Is that something that's going to be, you know, just kind of a wait and see where you're in the queue, or how does that work?
I assume so. I really haven't, you know, wrapped my head around just yet. I'm waiting to see how it kind of unfolds.
I saw an article about the NHL actually getting their own kind of batch so that they could give it to the athletes first. I guess that's not going to affect you guys as traveling musicians, because it doesn't matter if the people in the audience don't have it or not, right? So,
well, back in the day, I mean, Brent and I have both had like, you know, yellow fever shots and things like that to go to, you know, India. I'm sure Corey and Shane, you both have had shots for different areas. Yeah. So I assume it's kind of like, okay, you probably won't be able to go anywhere.
I saw something hilarious online today too, just for all the people out there that are always worried about this vaccine. It said, don't worry, the vaccine will not contain a microchip, but it will contain but it will contain U2's new album.
Yeah.
Totally.
So it's just constantly playing in your head till the end.
Exactly. So I thought that was pretty funny. But without further ado, Corey, I'm going to give this one to you. Why don't you introduce this week's guest?
All right. So excited about this guest. He was the soundtrack of my 10 and 11-year-old years on the planet. I listened to Sheriff so much. My sister is a huge fan. She'll be watching, I'm sure, right now. This guy is one of the best voices in rock and roll. It's so unique. There's nobody like him. He sang with Sheriff. That was his, as he likes to say, his high school years of learning music and being in a band and that sort of thing and all it entails. And then, of course, he went on to become frontman for Alias. And then he wrote songs and TV shows and in the film industry here in L.A. And then he actually moved to L.A. And like one of the Sheriff's songs, California, in the song he sang, I'm going to California, only three octaves higher.
I think he sang a high A on that song too.
Yeah, crazy. And he really did move to California.
Sure, an A.
and he's used every single note in his range.
And it's a hell of a range.
It's a hell of a range.
Yeah, it's.
Without further ado, please welcome to the show, Mr. Freddie Kirchy. Yeah.
How about that for an introduction?
Hello, guys.
Hi. Hey, Freddie.
You guys are really good for the ego. This is a good
We mean it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I insist they go and say all these kind of things to my parents once in a while to remind them. Love
that. Just record it and play it back when you're feeling down. Yeah.
So how long have you been in LA now, Freddie? I'm curious to know how long you've been living in the U.S.
I've been here since 90.
Oh, wow.
595.
Wow. Crazy. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Wow. And that was a career, like the music and the film. And you thought, I'm going to take my chances down there? Or was there something that actually brought you to Los Angeles specifically? Or
a girl.
A girl.
Uh-huh. That's the first honest answer I've ever heard.
It's usually only one of a couple of things, though. I mean, and that's, you know,
it's usually a girl or a kid. Yeah, exactly.
It's always about a girl. I got married to this same girl, and we've been married for 22 years.
Wow!
And, congratulations.
And just living down here, it's been amazing, especially in February.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. When you grow up in Ontario, you can appreciate winter in California. Yeah.
Oh, I love my hometown of Toronto. I miss it, but I love the weather here. It's just unbelievable.
Of course.
Yeah.
You don't have one of those, you don't have any of those phantom moments of like missing the seasons. We all fall for that. I see stuff on TV and I'll say to my wife, "Oh my God, I missed this." And she goes, "Shut up."
Yeah, exactly.
For me is, you know, when I'm playing golf in February, I don't really miss 3 feet of snow in Toronto.
No, yeah. I know. Or plugging your car in and all those classic great.
Oh my God, that's right. Plugging my car in.
Speaking of which, I got to go plug in my car.
Darren's the only one in Canada. Right now, yeah. He's in Winnipeg, yeah. Yeah. The rest of us are.
I love Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg.
Yeah, in summer. Yeah.
I actually, during my many cross country tours with Sheriff and across Canada, I went fishing in Winnipeg.
Wow. That's a lot of great places here. Yeah.
That's a perfect Winnipeg thing to do.
Lots of northern.
It's just an amazing thing.
Yeah.
We have lots to talk about, but I'm just going to tell you this. Look.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. Is that like a flyer?
This is. Freddie played at Night Moves with Alias, and my band opened. This is 1990, one of your many gigs.
Wow.
How do you like that? One of your fishing expeditions, yeah.
Freddie, for years, he's been saying you guys closed for him. So just so you know.
I believe it. No problem.
I think, Shane, did you say that you opened for them too?
Yeah, Hell's Bells opened for you guys in Club Soda in Vancouver. I think probably the same year. I think 90.
At Club Soda in Vancouver. Yep. I remember that gig. One of many.
Yeah, you were great.
Thanks. This was in Sheriff?
Alias.
Alias. Okay.
No, I was in a band called Hell's Bells, and we just opened up. I don't know if you even got to the gig yet, but we just kind of played probably an hour or something before.
He wants you to compliment his band.
The band was amazing. You guys were so good. Yeah, oh, geez. I love it.
It was a great club, though, back in those days.
Club Soda was the place to be in Vancouver. Yeah. Remember Club Soda? It was so funny because it had, like, big portraits of, like, David Coverdale and Motley Crue and, like, Poison. And it was, like, the place where all those hair bands came because they recorded in Vancouver. And they all would go to this. AC/DC would go there and all those bands, and I don't remember ever seeing any of those bands there, but apparently they would hang out there. I guess they just never hung out when I was there.
Cool.
Yeah.
They only came there when Hell's Bells played there. Just so you know.
That's funny, Brent, that you have that still Hell's kicking Bells around.
There? Yeah. What's that, Darren?
I said that's awesome that you still have that kicking around. I mean,
we can talk, you know, all of Freddie's great songs and bands, but I'm telling you, that first Alias record is one of my favorites. So I was really invested in that time. And it's interesting because we always, as a band, the template of a great Canadian rock band is always a five piece with, you know, the singer and the, you know, it's always like, and you guys had keyboards at that time too. You had an extra guy in the band, but that's always been my favorite, you know, band is with a keyboard player and lots of harmonies. And that's what I've always grown up loving. So Alias was, you know, in 90, I was 20. That was a very, very influential band to me. And of course, the Sheriff records. But it was really cool to see you guys live because when you probably came through with Sheriff, I was just a little bit younger, so I wasn't able to see you guys yet. But anyway.
Yeah, actually, oh, somebody just asking if Canada has mixed stage clubs, and no, it wasn't mixed stage, right? It was
mixed your stage
license.
No.
Yeah,
it was always over 19, or depending on the province, but it was always like, because I remember being a kid and complaining all the time, like, you know, I would love to go into the city and watch whoever's coming to town, but you know, you couldn't until you were 19 in Saskatchewan or whatever.
Well, I think that's why Manitoba lowered it to 18, just to lure people into coming here, because that's, you know, usually the only thing that could get you here in the middle of winter was the fact that you could be 18 and go to a bar and drink for New Year's, right? I mean,
so everybody moved out in July and then moved out of Winnipeg and as soon as the first winter came around here.
Yeah, well, I remember being from Thunder Bay, where it's like 19 and you drive to Winnipeg and all of a sudden it's like, hey, game on, right?
So where did you grow up technically, Freddie, in Toronto, in the Toronto area?
Well, my nationality is Italian. So
lots of Italians in Toronto, man. Huge.
Lots of Italians.
Yeah.
So I lived downtown Toronto in the Italian section.
Cool.
Then we emigrated to a little north with all the Italians. And then we emigrated even more north with all the Italians. And my parents felt comfortable and so did I with all the same ethnicity. And it was
were they Canadian born, or were they actually from Italy?
No, my parents are Italian immigrants. They came from Italy, both.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So did we do justice on the pronunciation? How exactly do you pronounce the last name?
Kirchi. You guys did it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Kirchi.
But you don't have to hold up the fingers when you say it?
No, well, actually, my real name is Federico.
That's Federico.
My real name.
Right.
That's what we'll call you from now on.
Yeah.
There you go.
Do an opera record.
Proud. Yeah, yeah. I love opera, actually.
Is that how you came up?
You probably do a great job.
I was going to ask you that. Did you come up singing opera? Like, where did this voice come from, for God's sake? Because it's, when I really think about all the Canadian singers, you really kind of get the black belt over all of us, because nobody else was doing that. You know, what you're doing is like, it's always staggering to me when I go back and then having to record this version of the song. It's like, we got to record that song? Good Lord. It's like...
you sang When I'm With You?
Well, I tried. Yeah, I tried. Yeah, it's like,
You blew me away. I was so freaking... It was just awesome.
Did you like it more or less than... Did you like it more or less than Hell's Bells? That's what I want to know.
I'll tell you, it's better than mine. It's better than mine on the show.
No one can do that.
Freddie, like we're like it's hallowed ground for us when we do this, because we love, you know, because you know the records are all we love our bands when we record them. And when we do, it was like, I'm like, I don't know if we can do this, dude. It's like, can we pick another song? Because it's such like, you know, it's sort of like, it's the one that, you know, you really kind of are a sixth degree black belt of lead vocalists on that song. And it's like, oh my God, I was to be honest, I only recently came out of the coma after singing it. So.
I have something to tell you here.
Okay.
You sang it in the original key.
We did. Yeah. Corey made me sing it in the original key.
I've only ever sung that song in the original key twice.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Twice. Once was during the recording of the Sheriff album, and another time was about 20, 25 years later on a cruise ship in the karaoke room. My wife wanted to go to the karaoke room, so I looked at the song book, and lo and behold was When I'm With You.
Wow.
And my wife says, you should sing it. And I, like an idiot, said, okay, I'll sing it.
And were there people on the cruise that go, you sound just like that guy?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what happened was, as the song starts, I realize it's in the original key.
Mm, yeah.
And you're like, it's really hard. I got through
it. I know, yeah.
I got through it, but I won the t-shirt. They were giving away a t-shirt as a grand prize.
And I won the t-shirt. So great.
That is awesome.
That's awesome, dude.
Did you get video of that moment?
Did you tell them? Like, did you let on that, hey, you know, it's me, I'm over here now?
No, I didn't get anyone saying, you sound exactly like the guy, but as I was walking back to my seat, someone said, wow, you sound pretty good. I said, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
I think it would have been better. It would have been better if they had said something like, look, you're great, but you're no Freddie Kirchie.
Yeah.
But I am Freddie Kirchie.
Yeah, there
that's
you go.
Amazing. Oh, man. That's amazing. No, honestly, it's like one of those things that I often think as I'm hearing it, I'm like, I don't think, I mean, as much, I'm sure that song and everything, we all love it and you get lots of love for it, but I don't think anybody really understands until you try to sing something like that. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's just like, let's you know, now step into the ring with Mike Tyson and fight him. Okay. That's what it feels like. It's like, and I'm like, man, I don't think you get nearly enough props for that. And I think that.
Well, thank you. But
what an amazing
to your version, I was completely blown away. I thought the track was awesome and the vocal was more awesome.
Oh, thank you. Well, the secret was I was inhaling helium the entire time.
Ah, there you go.
Well, and credit
very
to Corey.
Tight trousers. Yeah.
Corey always makes us sound so good because Corey does produce all of our tracks and literally is he's the wizard. But, you know, it's almost like it's a fresh coat of paint, but is that the best way to describe it? Like, we love the songs that we grew up on or were so influenced by, and to completely rip it apart and make it something so it's unrecognizable doesn't always work for us. We really like to celebrate it the way we remember it. So we kind of, that's the another trick to the, that makes it really hard is to give it respect, like the fresh coat of paint, but it's like, you know what I mean? Like we're not trying
to, it was amazing.
Like Todd had to sing it in the same key. That's the way it was. Yeah. It had to be the same key.
There was discussion about it because it was like, you know, if you knock it down to G, it's, you know, but it's like, but then, you know, once you get into it, you're like, we may as well just do it. You just dive in both feet. Here we go, you know.
Right, I was going to say we tempo mapped it also. I think Corey, because, you know, back in those days, you guys didn't use a click or anything. So we
absolutely not
actually copied the same tempo throughout the
song. Yeah, I copied the exact tempo of the original song. So every kick and snare are exactly the way it was in the original.
I know. It was amazing.
As Rob James.
Here's an interesting bit of trivia. We recorded the album in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, in Daniel Lanois' studio.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And he engineered some stuff because we had a producer. He engineered some stuff, and he actually did the click for "When I'm With You" on a pencil on a microphone.
What?
Wow!
No way!
Yeah, he did that.
Wow,
that's amazing.
The click, like he hit a microphone and made a click, printed a click first. Wow!
No, he started the mic and we played along with the click live.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Wow, that's interesting. That's amazing. Wow. So Daniel considered himself a pretty solid metronome just to kind of like
it was good enough to me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Clearly the proof is in the pudding. Yeah. It came out, you know,
there you go.
In amazing. So what is the story on that note? Everybody talks about that note. Which I only recently regained consciousness from singing that, trying to sing that. But
okay,
so you're like just kind of standing there. You finish the song, you're holding it, and you literally, I mean, it's in the world Guinness Book of Records. It's like the longest note of all time.
Well, the thing was, it was a gag. The only way they could finish the song was for me to stop. So I wouldn't stop, and they're like, keep going, and they finally finished it anyway, and I kept singing, but that basically was just a joke.
Wow. So you're saying that you pretty much did it like live with the guys, or how was that?
No, this is a long time ago.
I don't remember recording our version. It's just like a couple weeks ago.
I sang it live with the guys, and then I re-sang it.
Right.
Then I re-sang it. Yeah. But I used to sing with all, I sang with all the tracks live.
That's so crazy, man. Because that deserves all the props and more props than you get. Because that's,
well, Corey, you would know this because you obviously are the tech wizard. What's the actual duration of that? I know we've talked about this a number of times.
Well, I didn't actually look at it, but I saw in the Guinness Records it's 19.3 seconds from start to the end.
There you go. Wow.
I mean, I saw it on the internet, so who knows what it is, but that seems really long. But I think it starts because you didn't really take a breath for that last note. You sing into that last note, right?
Yeah, it's all one breath.
Right.
I'm with you.
All that stuff before is still the same breath.
Now, what's the story on your training at this point? Are we talking about, like, you know, just singing in rock bars, or do you have some sort of, like, you know, a 6-degree black belt in opera?
I used to sing opera when I was a little kid, and and then singing, you know, 7 days a week in clubs across Canada. I did that 3 times for 10 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And what I found really helped me a lot was swimming underwater and holding my breath while I was swimming for as long as I could. And that seemed to really help me out, because I had to figure out something, because we were playing so much, I didn't want to lose my voice. And I found by doing that, my voice actually got stronger on Saturday night than it was on Monday.
Wow.
And we were literally playing 7 days a week, or 6 days a week, and travel one day, clubs. But swimming underwater, I found, was the best thing for me.
We all did that, too. Hell's Bells. Hell's Bells did that.
Hell's Bells did that, yeah.
But no, I it's funny, because you say that. It's like, it does separate the men from the boys, because singing on Monday night versus Saturday night, usually it's the exact opposite. By Saturday, guys are just praying for a day off, like, oh God, I just need to, you know, because, well, back in those days, guys weren't necessarily taking care of themselves, you know, it was like partying the whole week too. So, but yeah, it's actually a good, your breathing is such a heavy part of the entire process. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
A huge part of it. No.
Yeah.
Proof is in the pudding. You sang this. Can I say that?
Of course. It's not family friendly.
You sang the crap out of that song.
Oh, well, thank you very much. That means a lot coming from you.
Away. Man, and that's why I want to get everything you guys have done, because everything's of that caliber. I know it.
Thank you. I don't plan to sing it again. The next time I'm going to sing is in 25 years on a cruise ship.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever do a Harlequin cover?
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! We do a couple.
We do Innocence, and we do Thinking of You.
Thinking of You.
Yeah.
Thinking of You. We actually got Sheriff toured with Harlequin.
Right? Can we show that picture, Darren? Can you put it up?
I've seen the photo. Yeah.
We found a photo. Yeah.
Oh, really?
We found a photo of you guys all posing together that I'd never seen before. It was amazing.
Yeah.
You look like you're about 10 years old.
Yeah, I was.
How old were you when you started with Sheriff?
19.
Oh my.
Okay.
Wow.
I was 19, and we started touring on my 20th birthday.
Wow, that's crazy.
So how did you know you could sing so high? Like, I mean, how did that happen? Because it's not just high, but it's next level.
Basically, when we were rehearsing for Sheriff, it was my first band. Oh my God, look at that picture.
Jeez. Darren's going to put it up.
Old school.
Put it up.
There we go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
That's Harlequin and Sheriff.
Oh my God. Look at that.
Yeah, this looks like a...
That's great.
This looks like a hostage taking that dude on the bottom with the mustache.
That's the drummer, right?
Drummer and Sheriff, yeah.
Good.
Like, there's about to be a beheading of that dude.
Hey, look, Ralph James.
Ralph James.
Where?
Mm-hmm. Way in the back. Right? The
young, oh,
the,
at the top.
The young kid with the, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Who is, Freddie, our agent that keeps us working.
Way.
And,
excellent. Yeah.
So what year is
That's
this?
Great.
About
79, 80.
Okay.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, Harlequin would have been big around that time too.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were.
It was a lot of fun. I was open
and,
for Harlequin. Yeah.
Harlequin was headlining. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, both those bands. That's the template: the keyboard playing, the guitar, the melodies, and
the five piece band. Yeah.
That's the. I love that. I love it. I love
Loverboy, Streetheart, Saga. It goes on and on.
Honeymoon Suite.
Honeymoon Suite. Yep.
Wow.
And, that lineup, that version of that lineup. The only thing we don't have is a keyboard player, but someday we'll put somebody in there. We'll see how that.
Well, works. We do, but we can't play two things at once.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. How are we going to play this live? How are we going to do this song live, guys?
How are we have to put a keyboard in our rider now.
Exactly. I think people would forgive you if you had that. Just kind of.
I'll play keys, and Todd, you switch to bass.
Yeah, okay. That's a good idea.
That's there perfect.
Boom. That's always a good way to do it. Done.
And then we'll get Freddie to come front the band.
Exactly.
All right.
But we're going to play a half step
are you kidding?
Up from the original.
Oh, even better. Okay.
Just to punish you.
Yeah, get in that pool. Get in that pool.
Let's get in the pool. Yeah. Just start swimming.
So getting back to my other question, my last question about the knowing that you could sing as high as you could, because the Sheriff record is... It's flawless, and you hit such extraordinary notes, and it's not like you're showing off kind of notes, although you are, but everything is in total context. And the pitch, I mean, this is before auto-tune and all that stuff. The pitch is perfect. Like what did those vocal recording sessions look like? Was it a lot of punch-ins, or did you just go?
Well, I don't mind punching in. If the producer says you got to redo a line, I'll redo a line. Are you kidding? We used to punch in syllables.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now that's all done in computers. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh, my God. The reason I sing high was because when I first joined Sheriff in the rehearsal phase of the band before we started touring, the guys, I didn't know a lot of rock stuff. I was in an Italian wedding band prior to Sheriff. Hmm. And I went and auditioned, and they said, "Do you know Van Halen?" I go, "Van who?"
Really? Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What's an Italian wedding band play then? Like Italian folk music?
Italian, traditional Italian wedding, like polkas and that kind of thing.
Cool.
And we would, the modern music would be all disco stuff, like Donna Summers and whatever. Yeah. So I went to rehearsal and I said, "Well, we really dig your voice. You're the guy we want." Because we ended up doing a blues number and I just improvised some lyrics. And they said, "We really like your voice. You're the guy, but these are the songs we want you to learn: Boston, Styx."
Sure.
So I just, my range expanded during that rehearsal period, and I realized, okay, I can do this. And we just included it in our original material.
Great.
And so. Yeah. I basically learned how to sing high during the Sheriff rehearsal days.
Hmm. That's amazing, because the song "I Love Rock and Roll," or just called "Rock and Roll," I can't remember what it's called, but you very convincingly sound like you've been singing blues kind of riffs your whole life. So kudos to you for not really being a rock singer to sounding like you've been doing it since birth.
Well, thank you. That's the thing to say.
In fact, I used my wife and I applied for the Amazing Race, and I just found this video like yesterday, and we included that high note, yeah, in our video.
Wow.
It's cool. Hard to explain, but it all made sense in the video. But and I had to laugh when I found the video, and then I knew what I'd be talking to you. But
what are you dragging your wife into now?
Well, this was 10 years ago.
I'm gonna call the authorities, is what I'm gonna do.
We auditioned for the Amazing Race.
Headphones on, and they got mad at you for screaming in their ear, so they know.
Hey, you got Freddie. You mentioned Styx. If it wasn't for another Torontonian in the band, you would have been, I think, an awesome addition to Styx.
Mm. Well, yeah, I have a story about Styx.
Oh, really?
We used to do these things in Alias called Star Parties.
Yeah.
Where they'd get, you know, whoever had the hits of the day together and play three songs. And we were on the same bill as Styx. And it was just the keyboard player and JY or YJ, the guitar player.
JY.
Yeah. And so we started speaking backstage, and we got on really well. And we did our three songs and went backstage. And the keyboard player said, okay, this is when Tommy Shaw left and they got another keyboard, another singer in the band. Uh-huh. And he said, if I would have known you, I would have got you to sing with my band.
Imagine Dennis that.
I would have got you to sing with my band. So he goes, I want you to come up on stage with me. So we went on stage, and Sheriff did a song. Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the law.
Nice.
Of the law. So I sang with those two guys from Styx. Yeah. And then he goes, you're not getting off stage. You're going to sing Babe. So I sang Babe with them as well.
Cool.
How did it go?
Are you gonna make him sing it?
Babe, I'm gonna make you sing.
Oh, okay.
Must be on my way. Keep going.
Yeah.
That immediately turns into like a high school dance where you gotta dance like 6 inches apart.
Straight armed.
Yeah, straight arm dancing.
Got it.
Above the waist.
Above the waist. Teachers come out and pull you up. Oh. Okay, knock it off. That's great. What do you do in Los Angeles? I'm always very curious what this chapter of your life has been.
Oh, well, I just finished another solo album.
Oh, you did? Wow. Fantastic. Cool. Wow.
Yeah. I recorded it all in my studio.
Great.
Whenever work comes, I do it.
That's amazing. It's fantastic.
It's pretty boring, but it's pretty neat.
How did you get your toe in the door with the TV stuff that you did?
Through friends.
That's great.
Through friends. I still do some TV stuff. And basically, you guys know, it's who you know. And especially in that aspect of the business, it's really a small community.
And, it is.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember going to the BMI Awards for TV and film, and I must have got asked a dozen times, how'd you get that gig?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody else is trying to poach your gig is what's going on, yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah, that's the way it works in the
industry. Yeah,
especially in those small communities, because, like you say, in the film and television, where there's a certain number of guys get the call. So where'd Freddie Kirchy come from? He's not one of the five guys who gets the call. Yeah, it's a cool thing to get involved in, though.
Oh, I just remember something. My first television gig, a sitcom I did. I got the gig because the showrunner, When I'm With You, was his wedding song.
Oh, wow.
Love it.
There you go.
It always connects. Amazing. It always connects to something you've done in the past, doesn't it? Every single thing you've done in your life will connect you to the next chapter. It's
six degrees of sheriff. There you go.
Six now, degrees of when I'm with you. Exactly.
I know you've probably told this story 1,000 times, but can you tell our listeners the story of When I'm With You and the fact that you guys were broken up when it actually became number one?
Yeah, I was just telling that story. I don't know if you heard me, Freddie, but I was talking about how, like, when I was in the States around that time and hearing that song everywhere and going, like, how is this song, like, it was being played as if it was a brand new single. And I was like, and people were loving it. I couldn't figure out why, you know, this song that I grew up on was suddenly, like, now a big song in the States. Such a fascinating story.
Well, what happened was a DJ in Las Vegas called, his name is Jay Taylor, loved When I'm With You, and started to play it. And all of a sudden, all the telephone lines, you know, started blowing up. And he was getting this continuous reaction. We kept playing the song. So he called Capitol Records and said, listen, I'm getting this unbelievable response to this When I'm With You song. And make a long story short, they said, okay, we'll support it. We'll support it. And then a couple of weeks later, I got a call from who's now passed away, the president of Capital Canada. You guys know Dean Cameron?
Dean Cameron,
yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he called me at home and said, Freddie, how are you? And I said, I'm fine. He said, you realize you're going to have a number one record. And I said to him, I said, Dean, our record's not out yet. We were recording our which ended up becoming the Alias record.
Sure,
and
yeah.
I said, he said, no, the Sheriff song, When I'm With You. And he told me the whole story, and it went to number one. And we were recording our album, and to pay for it, we bought a studio, took loans out to get a studio in Steve's basement.
Wow.
And, yeah. And we were doing day jobs as well. We were couriers.
And this was after Sheriff broke up, right?
Yes, yes.
Sheriff was already broken up.
I forgot to mention that. Yeah. Yeah. So we were working day jobs. And at one point, we had CBC chasing us, doing our job. They wanted to interview us doing our day job, but having this number one song. So it was like, wow. Sorry.
And your day job was you were bike couriers or just, is that right?
No, just a courier in a car.
Oh, in a car. Okay.
I love that. So you're trying to do your damn job, and now they're kind of like, "Hey, microphone in your face."
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Wow.
But that's how it came, because it was number one, and I'm really proud of that.
That's crazy, right?
Should be, yeah.
It was like 8 years after you recorded the song, it actually hit. The band was broken up.
Exactly.
And now you're number one, and there's no band, no video, no nothing to support it. But you're a superstar around the world, and you're not in a band.
It really was kismet in that it was sort of, Alias was just kind of came out hot on the heels of that. I remember it being like, you know, oh, this is really cool. Now this is their new thing. And I remember being like, oh, it felt like it was structured in such to just set you guys up for like, here's Alias, you know, at least it felt like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Freddie, so when you were working on the Alias record with Steve, uh-huh. So that would be in Toronto, uh-huh. Right? We're at a studio at, you said Steve's house?
Steve's basement.
And then when you guys made that record, was that yourself and Steve and who else in the band at that time?
All right. I'll be honest with you. The band was myself, Steve, and a bass player, a session guy, and a drummer, a session guy. And we did everything else.
Yeah, that's Steve's what I figured.
Steve's brother
was one of the
keyboards.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Yeah,
he
played keyboards.
Yeah, I always knew that was you guys and not because, you know, of course, the band that became that toured with you was members of Heart. But I always knew like, oh, you guys did that record all yourselves. And then the other guys joined as a package. But, and I really loved that you guys as a live band, but I knew that those songs like I Need You Now, that was all written by you and Steve, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
That sounded like the right key, Brett.
Oh, he's got perfect. I'm sure it was.
He got perfect pitch.
Yeah.
He's again, perfect, again.
God bless you.
Yeah.
I wish I had perfect pitch.
That song is, hey, I Need You Now is as good as When I'm With You. I'm sorry. I love that song just as much. And I actually heard it more because in this, I remember it was a hit as well. And you guys played all the talk shows. I was just going down the rabbit hole. And when I saw you guys do, I think it, You Should Be Waiting. Was that the song on Leno that you did?
No,
wait, so wait, you, Waiting for Love.
Yeah. Waiting for Love. Well, But you guys did a whole
Tonight Show. We did the Tonight Show a couple of times.
That's right.
I know. Yeah. Just to see Johnny Carson hold up the Alias album. And I mean, I shit myself.
It was amazing.
No kidding.
Johnny Carson drove in a vet 5 minutes before the show starts. Leaves in his vet 10 minutes after the show ends.
That's so rad.
Wow.
I wanted to say hello to him. You know what I did do? We went over and took pictures on his desk. And
cool.
What was lying there was Johnny Carson used to have a pencil that he used to tap the mic with. Erasers on both ends. I took it as a souvenir.
Oh wow. Now there's like a security guards from NBC being deployed from Burbank coming to you.
Oh no.
Canadian crime. I'm gonna steal this pencil.
I mean, think about the Tonight Show and actually Todd and I have done the Tonight Show, but with Jay Leno and Corey, you've probably done it. And
excellent.
And Shane's been on a million TV shows too. But just the idea of Carson, you know, and Canadian, kids from Canada and the show you watched growing up. And because it's a long road. It's a long road from Canada to the Tonight Show. It just is.
Yeah.
I was blown away. I was so nervous. We're getting ready to perform. And just before the curtain comes up, the stage manager goes, "Do you realize 40 million people are going to see you?"
Oh, Jesus. Days, yeah, it was like,
don't fuck up.
Million.
Yeah.
Like three networks and that was it. Like everyone was
watching. Yeah, back then it was literally like Carson was the only game in town, really, at that time of night.
Yep.
Yeah, I was really happy to perform there.
Yeah, it's amazing. You guys killed it on there. Go ahead.
Are you going to say?
No, I just said thank you for the compliment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Are you guys neighbors? Where do you guys all live in L.A.?
What are your addresses and your social security numbers?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. But are you like, do you live in the Valley, Freddie, or have you lived, you know, around the city?
I live in Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
So nice. Shane and Corey are just over the hill on the other side, a little more west of you.
Cool.
I live in Tent City over in the downtown area.
I have to go for a matcha with you.
There you go. You guys are all California guys. You guys got to hang out. Next time we get out to California, Fitz and I are both in Vegas. So the next time we get out there,
seems like a great karaoke night. You know, you can just all hit.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, there's a great vegan Italian place in Hollywood called Pura Vita. You have to check it out. It's awesome.
Pura Vita.
Oh, okay.
That's great. I think it's right on Sunset, I think.
Huh. Wow.
I live off of Sunset. Where?
Oh, hang on. Talk amongst yourselves.
So how long have you been in Hollywood?
Did you eat at Mirabelle back in the day on Sunset? Isn't that a good Italian place?
Absolutely. I loved it.
Yeah.
How about Casa Vega? Do you like Casa Vega? That's one of my favorites.
Who doesn't love
it?
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta...
And there's a good Dan Tana's over by the Rainbow. That's by the Troubadour, I think. But there's
yeah, yeah, by the great Troubadour. I've been there. I've had dinner there. Absolutely.
Dan I Tana. Figure, yeah, you've had to make the rounds of the...
Frank Sinatra used to eat there.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. That's right.
Yep.
Gotta be good.
Yeah, there's good food in L.A.
Santa Monica and Sweetser.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's actually Santa Monica. Close to my house.
Hollywood.
Is it? Check it out.
There you go.
Awesome.
Awesome.
They got an awesome dessert where you have ice cream. You know, it's all vegan, but they put Nespresso over the ice cream. Or not espresso. What do they call that? It's like
affogato.
Affogato.
That's it. Oh, okay. That's it. Yeah. Love it. Mm. Delicious.
Yeah. Brent showing his true Italian.
Oh. Yeah, Toronto has Italian. One of the... Do you speak Italian?
Yeah, I spoke Italian before I spoke English because my parents are Italian from Italy.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Toronto's got a great little Italy. It's got a great Italian hang over there for sure. Restaurants and stuff.
I always gravitate towards that Toronto Little Italy whenever I'm there.
I bet, yeah.
And just the food. Well, one thing about LA is you can't get good Italian deli. You can't get cold cuts. You can't get panettone.
Really?
You can't. There's no place. There's one place called Pinocchio's. It's on Magnolia in Burbank.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Wow. Now, what a missed opportunity that is. I mean, you would think that there would be like enough of an Italian community in California that there would be like a massive cash in. Note to self, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Because when you go by, I went there. I made the mistake of going there Christmas Eve once to get some stuff for Christmas, and the lineup was around the block.
Of course.
Wow.
Yeah. I could
see
that.
It was unbelievable. I go, and in Toronto, they're on every corner.
Yeah.
Italian delis. No problem.
Absolutely.
Here, not so much.
Yeah, do you go back to Toronto? Do you have family there? Are you mostly, your kids are born in California, is that correct?
Yes. My parents still live in Toronto, and I have two brothers and a sister still in Toronto. Big Italian family. I'm the eldest of five kids.
Wow. That is a good Italian family right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
We all have our families up there too, but certainly COVID is making all of us try to figure out.
Have you been back at all during this COVID thing, or you haven't bothered to go up there either?
I've wanted to. I missed my mother's 80th birthday because I couldn't.
I know. Yeah. A few of us have been back and forth, but it's not easy with the quarantine and the 14-day lockdown. When you get up there, it's just too tough to make it work for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, me too. I don't even go out. I go out once a week to get some food,
exactly.
And that's about it. The rest of the time, we just stay at home.
Once a week to Pinocchio's and then home.
Yeah.
But well,
I guess we should probably how do you say Pinocchio in proper Italian? That's what I like.
Pinocchio.
Yeah. I guess, yeah.
I was talking on the phone with Freddie, and I remarked that in it, you know, his name is Kirchy, but there's no H. But his bandmate, Steve DeMarchi, has an H in his name, so you think it would be Steve DeMarchi, but it's DeMarchi.
That's right.
It's just the way it is in Italy. Who knows why?
Everything's like that. Yeah, yeah.
Go figure.
Go figure.
Yeah.
It's like Steve stole your H and didn't use it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. So what can we expect on your new album?
Just a bunch of good songs.
And when do we get to hear it?
Songs?
Who's all playing on it, by the way, too? I would like to know. Is it just mostly yourself, or how does that work? Really?
Yeah, pretty much me. Yeah.
Great.
I find it's faster to do it myself. And cheaper to do it myself.
Well, I know a guitar player in the Valley, and then I know the drummer from Hell's Bells is in Simi Valley, if you want him.
Excellent!
I cannot let go of the Hell's Bells thing. Sorry. Yeah. I love your shit.
Yeah, but he said it's cheaper, and Hell's Bells rates, you know, that's through the roof.
Yeah, that's way out. Way out of his league.
You throw Hell's Bells in there, and that's where you got to pay for that.
you play for the name.
You play guitar then, and what else?
Keyboards and all that?
Yeah, and I got a drummer to come in. What am I talking about?
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
And Paul, what a great drummer. And
Paul. Sorry.
Yeah. Paul's listening right now with a tear in his eye.
Paul Vendrasco. There you go. I remember.
Hey. Okay. Another Italian.
He's another Canadian.
Oh, really?
Another Italian Canadian living in LA.
Wow.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. So you guys really do stick together. You really stick together. I appreciate that. Yeah.
There you go.
So do you have a release date for that then?
Not yet. Not yet. I'm mixing the last song now.
Okay.
Great.
Awesome.
That's exciting.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That's very exciting. Yeah. So it'll be a solo record. It'll be like Freddie Kirchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. And Paul, featuring Paul.
And featuring Paul on drums.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very exciting. That's awesome.
Thank you.
It's such a funny thing because whenever we get around to signing off, it's always like, so what's coming up? And everybody's like, well, I'm waiting for the world to return mostly. Yeah.
Which is that the plan to release? Is just to wait until this is over or just.
Well, I'm not sure yet. I'm going to. Discuss it with my wife because she's my partner in all things.
Oh,
and
wow. There's a lesson to be
see
learned.
What happens?
Great. Yeah.
She's my best friend. She's so
cool. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And Freddie too. She is a voiceover.
Yes. Like she's a voiceover actress.
That's so cool.
And she's a songwriter as well.
Great. Wow.
She writes lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
She wrote basically all the lyrics on the solo record.
Really?
That's awesome. Is she performing at all on it?
Pardon me?
Is she performing at all on it?
Like singing on it?
Singing or doing anything? Okay.
No, just cool. Just as a lyricist.
That's so cool.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Wow,
amazing. That's really I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
Me too. The voiceover thing is such a dream. Is that the kind of thing you can pretty much do from home these days? I remember back in the day, you'd see like people go into a studio. Now people are in their pajamas at their house doing like, you know, Folgers cuff.
That's exactly it. She does it. I offered her the studio. She said, my closet is quieter.
There you go.
She does it all in her closet.
Who's more technical with all the gear, you or her?
They have a daughter. They have a daughter for all that stuff.
Yeah,
basically.
Road crew.
She's getting kind of really, really good at the technical aspect. I can run the studio, but I can't turn on my TV.
Welcome to my world, dude. I'm like, what happened to this? A cat walks across the remote, the whole house goes down. I'm like...
Absolutely, yeah. You got to tell you.
Totally. Well, that's right on.
Well, we want to thank you for sharing your time with us today. Yeah. You're actually a very hard person to find. Like, it's only because one of the alumni drummers from our band, Took, has played also with you in Alias, Chris Sutherland.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's how we got a hold of you because really your online presence is minimal. So,
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, totally. We want to thank Chris for hooking us up. Mm-hmm. You know,
Chris is the best. What is Chris doing? I know he was with Kim Mitchell. He's been with. He's in a bunch of stuff. But what is his
Street Heart?
He was doing a play.
That's right. Wasn't it Kinky Boots or something like that?
Yep.
I think so.
Yeah.
He's done several. I don't know what he's doing at this moment, though.
Chris is doing Street Heart. Street Heart, guys. Street Heart.
Oh, he's in Street Heart.
No way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been doing Street Heart ever since they, in the last couple years, have been busier than ever. Of course, Kenny Shields passed on, and they did kind of decide to have another, you know, singer in the band, and Chris joined when Paul McNair, who I'm friends with as well, joined Street Heart. So they've been, you know, other than because of COVID, but they were pretty busy in the last couple of years. Were.
And Chris is a Winnipeg guy. He's a great Winnipeg guy.
He's Brandon. Yeah. Sometimes they like to separate. Oh, I'm from Brandon.
Oh, wow, that's very specific.
That's even more small town. That's like Moose Jaw. Moose Jaw and Brandon are, yeah.
Well, Brandon's far enough away to separate. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's you give or take. We'll let Portage La Prairie slide, but Brandon is a different place.
I think both those places.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Brandon's a stop.
I've performed on the Canadian tour. Every city across Canada. Every city.
I can imagine.
Did you play in Moose Jaw?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you perform at Dildo Days?
That's what? That's in Newfoundland, Newfoundland, right?
Are you serious? Oh, Dildo, right.
I played St. John's and Cornerbrook. And, wow. What else? Yeah.
I've been to St. John's. I don't think I've been anywhere else in Newfoundland. But yeah, they throw down out there. Mm-hmm. They know how to party out there.
I've never been there
My
yet.
God, I got screeched in on stage.
Yeah. That screech. Yeah, that'll do it to you.
Oh, hey, Freddie, before we let you go, but I want to know,
yes,
because you're Italian and I love coffee, and there's obviously a deep connection with coffee and the wonderful country of Italy, but do you like coffee?
I love coffee. I have it every morning. I can't have
Do you do the mocha pot on the stove, or what's your favorite way of making coffee?
Oh, I have an espresso maker.
Oh, okay.
Just push a button and it makes espresso. So I have a double espresso in the morning, every morning.
Oh, boy.
Gotta have it.
Yeah.
Decaf, though, right?
No. Are you kidding?
Full test. Yeah.
That's actually what I drink, because I get so jacked up from that caffeine and I get jittery and want to grind my teeth. It really affects me.
It makes people, it affects everybody differently, but some people get pretty aggro. I'll be honest, I've gotten a black eye or two from hanging out with him when he has his coffee, if he has coffee.
Oh, there you go.
What did my coffee do to you last time you were here, Corey?
It was very strong. Yeah, I was suffering because we shot the video and you had coffee for us, and it was like 1 o'clock when I got home and I could not sleep.
Yeah, so let's just mention the video. So we were all together. It was late night at Shane's when we were able to film together. But Shane just
filmed at Shane's house.
Shane made this rocket fuel coffee for us to all drink, and that's what we were high on that night when we filmed the video.
Yeah, wow. It's strong.
But Freddie, I would love to come to LA my next time there. Let's go for a coffee.
Heck yeah, Italian coffee. Absolutely. Let's go to Pinocchio's.
Yeah.
Okay.
We could do that in Burbank. That sounds great.
Boom.
They even have a hot table.
Oh wow! Really?
What is that?
Yeah.
That's the most Italian thing imaginable.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it's at a deli, so I'm sure you don't. Yeah.
Oh.
They have.
Yeah. Right.
They have pasta.
Oh.
Veal. Chicken, lasagna, all heated.
Oh, okay.
Well,
okay. So is it pasta or pasta?
I say pasta.
Canada, in the prairies, it's always pasta.
Yeah, pasta.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Toronto, though. I don't think Toronto ever.
Well, probably the Italian pronunciation would probably be pasta, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess
I've been over this before, yeah.
Pasta. Pasta. Where I come from, the only pasta we really talked about was macaroni and cheese by,
Kraft dinner. Kraft dinner.
That was pasta, yeah.
You mean there's some other kind of pasta?
Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely, yeah, exactly. So where do we go from here, boys? We
we're going to Pinocchio's. So whenever you can get down from Winnipeg, we'll meet you at Pinocchio's there. So
Absolutely.
Other than that, we should probably play a music video. Sure, we'll see that.
Let's play the video.
Take a deep breath.
Freddie, you're going to hang around and watch the video with us?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Hope
you enjoy.
Yeah, no doubt.
So
no doubt.
Who wants to preface this?
No doubt about it. Well, first of all, I have to say a major thank you to Freddie for being here. We're really thrilled, and hopefully, we can keep this going. And we can hang out now and probably make a nuisance of ourselves. Absolutely. Your wife will be like, "Get these jackasses out of here."
But, let's end the show on 19.4 seconds of silence.
Yes, exactly. Just to see how long that note was.
Yeah. Exactly.
And people, you don't really get a good feel for it until you're sitting there in silence thinking how long that really is.
It's a long time. It's a long time. Yeah. But thank you so much, Freddie. And so we made this video. it was initially made for a charity, and which was initially going to be just four guys playing acoustic guitars and four screens. But in classic Took form, it exploded into, what if we did that Sheriff song? Oh my God. And then it just became what you're about to see.
Yeah. What if we completely took this and turned it upside down and make it into something, you know, that,
yeah,
you probably wouldn't expect.
What I thought was a love song, we got to point this out.
And I'd feel cheated if we didn't, because I know Corey and I were going through this, but the original artwork actually didn't end up on the Spotify or iTunes list. So people, you can go actually download the real artwork that was, I guess, released as part of the single debut. And the reason that we tied this in was actually my grandfather was sheriff of Thunder Bay, Ontario. So a lot of that, all of that stuff that's on the artwork was actually owned and used by an actual sheriff. So that's why we kind of tied that in. So you kind of see how that blends into the concept of the video. So without further ado, we're going to debut the new Took single. Corey?
When I'm With You.
There you go.
Originally done by the great Sheriff, featuring the amazing Freddie Kirchy.
Freddie Kirchy.
There we go.
Always. Here we go.
The Bay City kidnapper seemed to elude the police for another day. Local sheriff's department still claiming they are hot on his trail. More on this as it comes in.
There
you go. That was amazing.
19.5 seconds at the end of that one, actually.
Thank you.
Why did it have to be so? It's so heavy and super dark. Wow. It's like I'm taken aback.
Well,
apparently, what Freddie, just so you know, like, I recorded that vocal and then I was in a coma and I came out, and apparently there's some kind of pandemic going on. So I don't know.
Well, we wanted to just put a different spin on it. So, funny. I mean, it was, you know. But we got your stamp of approval, so appreciate that.
Yeah, it's really cool that you know that Darren deserves the credit for the interesting take on what you had.
There's a group of us. I got to hand it to our good friend Dave too, who helped out with this as well. So
Dave Swizicki,
Dave, we love Dave, mm-hmm. Our director of.
Thank you, Dave.
He came through in the 11th hour, just because, you know, time restrictions. And so, yeah, he's always good at what he does. So, we had a good time doing it, and yeah, totally put a different spin on it. But I mean, that was something that I just thought was kind of interesting and neat. And yeah, here's the actual revolver that was on the cover there. So this was,
wow.
Cool.
That was
your sheriff was grandfather, is what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And like
that was his gun?
That was his gun. Like these, yeah, look at these, check these out, all this old cool stuff. Like these were all on the cover of that album. And that radio that was at the beginning was actually the photo of that was the cover too. So yeah, it's pretty cool. So I mean, yeah, you don't see this kind of stuff kicking around very often anymore. Like here's the actual sheriff badge, like check that out.
Wow, you
know? Crazy.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So yeah,
Sheriff of Thunder Bay,
you know it. Yeah, responsible for bringing all them bad guys up to Stony Mountain.
Yeah,
awesome.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this, Freddie. I mean, it was
my pleasure.
It's so cool that you got to that we're doing this with you. I mean, we were recording this song as a charity thing for some friends, and then just it just seemed to be kismet that it worked out that we found you along the way and figured we'd all spin it all together, and here we are. It's amazing. Thank you so much.
Yep.
My pleasure. Absolutely. It was great.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. As always,
thanks everybody for tuning in.
Okay.
Thank you to Freddie, thank you so much. And we'll be back next week.
Nick Gilder's here next week. Hot towel in the city.
Yes. Yep. Yes, coming in hot. And and then we'll go from there. So yeah, stay tuned. Everybody stay safe, and I guess we'll get the video up on YouTube shortly, and go and share away. We had a blast making it. These guys had did a killer job performing it. And we'll see you guys next Tuesday.
And we'll look forward to Freddie's new solo record.
My pleasure.
Yes, absolutely.
Take care, guys.
Thank you, Freddie. Bye, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.